Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and a very special guest on today's broadcast that Richard will be introducing in just a moment. I'm Bob Davis, and this is the Basic Gospel. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and it intersects with your life every day. If there's something, some pressing issue or question you have, and you'd like to discuss it, well, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. And now, here's Richard Piper.
Thanks, Bob. Well, today is a special day, and as we've been doing several times already through this month, and we'll continue, there's going to be more, we are interviewing pastors from various churches around the country. And I've got to give you, you know, the full confession here, full disclosure. The guy we're interviewing today, Jason Hillier, is my son-in-law.
Oh, we can't have that.
So there's, you know, there's a little bit of bias here, you know. And he is one of the pastors at the church I go to, that Lois and I go to now. And so I'm a little biased there. Let me give you a little story about Jason. He and I have been talking about the things of God for a long, long time. When he asked me 14 years ago if he could marry my daughter, Carrie, that part of it took about 10 seconds. You know, it was the least surprising question in the history of ever. And then we spent the whole rest of an hour and a half together talking about Reformed theology. I was getting exercised about it. I don't know if I got up and paced around inside the restaurant, but I felt like I was. I was just pounding on it and on it. And we get done, and we go to pay the bill, and he turns literally to the table right beside us, where, you know, who could easily hear me as I get more excited. And he introduces me to the head of the religion department at the school that they were attending, who just happens to be a noted Reformed theologian. I'm going, oh, man, thank you so much, son. Jason is a wonderful guy. He's got more energy than I've ever spent in my whole life, and I'm a lot older than he is. He is the Next Steps director at Valley Creek Church in Flower Mound, Texas. And in that role, he has the incredibly exciting job of taking brand new people who come to this church and explaining what the church is about, how they approach what they approach, what they believe, how grace works into everyday life. He gets to do in a 4-week series kind of what we get to do every day here, but it's directly with folks. So Jason, thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me, guys. This is exciting. So this is a team that I've been friends with for a while. It's so nice to be on the show, and I'm looking forward to just talking with you guys today. So,
yeah. Well, we're awfully glad to have you, Jason. And as Richard was saying, you are one of the most energetic, positive guys on the planet. I love that about you.
Thank you. You
make it so welcoming for people that come into Valley Creek. Tell us a little bit of your story, how you came to know Christ. And what's been going on inside of your life for the last several years? This awakening inside of you as far as the grace of God is concerned. Talk to us about that a little
bit. That's good. So I grew up in the thriving metropolis of Fremont, Ohio, and so I had a great church that I grew up in, and mom and dad that loved Jesus and told me so much about who He was and His goodness. That the major awakening that's really occurred for me as I think about my spiritual journey is I'm kind of one of those people that you say, did your salvation in Jesus look more like a lightning bolt or more like a sunrise? And where you just kind of wake up and you start to realize more of who He is. Mine was more of a sunrise. I grew up in a home, you know, that was very much committed to the things of God. And so as I got into my, let's call it early 20s and mid 20s, I really did have an awakening to the message of grace, an understanding that the finished work of Jesus was so much more than something you just talk about, that it really was fully finished. And so that was very difficult because joking with, like Richard just said, you know, I talked about, you know, big theological treaties and ideas and concepts and where do we land on and how do we follow the Ten Commandments and follow the words of Jesus and do all these tricky things all together. I started to realize I didn't have a lot of good answers for that. And that was it's just difficult to try to live under the weight of the old covenant and truly believe that Jesus has fully fulfilled it and brought us to the new covenant. And I was really struggling with those two things together. Over the last few years, that realization, the breakthrough of Jesus' finished work of fully fulfilling the law, of completing everything that needed to be completed to bring us to God, the good Father, that's an amazing revelation. And I'm just so thankful for that. thankful for the goodness of Jesus in my life and where I've seen him work among Valley Creek Church, and he'll continue to do so.
He sure will, and that is an important revelation and something that we talk about a lot here on Basic Gospel, coming to the point of declaring that you are a new covenant believer, mm-hmm. that Mosaic covenant was never meant for you as a Gentile.
Yeah.
You were under the, universal law of sin and death. Everybody comes into this world dead spiritually in need of life, and we receive that by grace through faith. But when we receive it, we're born again into the kingdom of God. We're born into this new creation. We're born again in living out this new covenant. That's where we live today. And so it's important for us to make that declaration independently. Mm-hmm. But it's also important to make it corporately as a body of believers. Because if you have some folks that are saying, hey, we still need to live under the Mosaic covenant, and others under the new, you've got problems. Mm-hmm. And so how have you guys at Valley been able to kind of bring a large group of people? It's one of the fastest growing yeah. churches in America, top 100. It may even be further up the list yeah. now. So good things are happening there as yeah. far as numbers, that sort of thing. But how do you maintain this new covenant message and bring everybody on board and make that declaration that we as a body of believers are new covenant?
Yeah, that's good. So much of what we try to do at the very beginning of our time of talking with newer people to our church is to have them really, truly buy into this idea that if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. And even in our classes, we'll try to explain things like, okay, if I looked at luggage in a suitcase and the suitcase was zipped up, if the luggage was in the suitcase, all I could see was the suitcase. If coffee is in a coffee mug and I hold up my coffee mug, all I can see is a coffee mug. If anyone is in Christ, all God the Father sees is Jesus Christ. And if people could really wrap their heart and their mind around the idea that God the Father is very pleased with you if you are in Christ, because he's very pleased with his Son. That's a big, big part of our messaging. It's the idea that the heart of the Father for his children is the same love that he had for his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. That's the same love he extends to each and every one of us. If we could draw further in to the idea of the Father's heart, the idea that Jesus came to tell us what his Father, his good Father, was like, and that literally Jesus is the words that the Father speaking to mankind. He's the exact representation and likeness of the good Father. If we could come to understand that, man, that would really, really give us confidence in the words of God and the words of Jesus Christ. And so we want to teach people that right off the bat. If anyone's in Christ, you're a new creation. What is that? I mean, truly, the life in you. And so it's a strange thing when you start to understand as a church that you're better off to teach people that the story of Christianity is not a story of being a bad person turned good. It's a story of being a dead person turned alive.
That's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's a huge difference.
And the fact that we were dead, you know, our only possibility, our only choice on the menu were the things of this world. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Adam and Eve, they turned against truth. They believe the lie. So that becomes inherent in us. That's where our natural inclinations are. But all of that is the result of death. Death entered into Adam and Eve. They forfeited that life that was given to them through creation. And the story of the gospel is reversing that.
That's right.
We cross over from death to life. That's the thing that blew my mind. After I graduated from college, I had accepted Christ as a young boy at a youth camp, knew I needed Jesus. There was nothing that ever changed that. There was never a point in time after I received Christ at that youth camp where I ever said, I don't need Jesus. Always knew I needed Jesus. I didn't know the why. I didn't know why I needed him. And that's where, when I went to a Bible study in Atlanta, this death to life truth hit my heart.
Oh, yeah.
I needed him for new life, and yeah. that's what I've been given in Christ Jesus. So we need to realize that we are alive in Jesus. Yeah. That's why we pound that and pound that here at Basic Gospel, because really that is the basic gospel, the most important element of the message. And so if you come together as a church and have a bunch of people who know they're fully alive in Jesus, watch out. Exciting things can take place.
You described what you do now with especially these four classes. Called Next Steps. But Valley Creek was a more traditional denominational church. Mm-hmm. How did you step, what was the journey you took from that point of view to what you're doing now, and what were some of the costs of that?
Well, it's fascinating because Valley Creek has always had a love and a heart for Jesus. Our founding pastor, actually, who founded the church, went on 18 years after the church's founding to become a full-time missionary in China. He's currently there. So our lead pastor, Pastor John Stickle, who is the pastor now, took over only 4 years ago. And really, in that transition time, he has really kind of ushered in the presence of Jesus by really focusing on the importance of worship. So when we worship God, we stop worshiping ourselves. By focusing on a new identity, when we really believe that we're made alive, we can truly live life to the fullest. And by focusing on what it looks like to carry his kingdom. So if indeed Jesus came to tell us about a change in the law, a change to the new covenant, and the ushering in of his kingdom on earth, then we are carriers of that kingdom. We can be disciple-making disciples. So that's a big phrasing that we use. So the change for us has been interesting because it's very difficult when you have a larger organization to say, okay, Lord, how do we just listen to you and release some of the reins of kind of classic church control and truly say that if we can just bring people to the presence of Jesus, there is shocking life transformation that will follow. It's the most difficult part is realizing that what you do as a church, like if you're a church like Valley Creek, it's so much more about what is caught than what's taught. So if people can catch the presence of the Spirit, the presence of the God of the living universe, and Jesus Christ, who loves us so, if they can catch that, rather than us just trying to speak it or teach it or kind of beat it into them, that's when true life transformation happens. That's a difficult process because churches, I think, unintentionally get caught in a concept of do good, God glad, do bad, God mad. Now, they don't mean to kind of propagate that, but they do. They do because they kind of tell you all of the ways you need to stay in right relationship with God. We don't want to do that. I think that's a damaging thought process. I think it's a damaging thing to teach people. The true life is, wow, Jesus has fully given you everything you need for your life, his godliness to the measure of him who's called you. Like, that's amazing. You can have that life, have it to the fullest, Christ in you, the hope of your glory. How exciting is that? That's where we're really leading people to now. It's a difficult transition, quite frankly, in the U.S. church. Many times a behavioral modification is the goal more than simply life change. We want life change to be the goal, living in the Father's heart, fully understanding the love the Father has for his children.
It gets back to what the writer of Hebrews said after he talks about the finished work of Jesus Christ. He said, let's not forsake the assembling together. And I think you hit on a point that this faith that we have is so foreign to us. I mean, it is a new way of life. That's not something that's out there in the world. And when we hear this gospel message, we receive this grace and faith is engendered in our hearts. We respond, we receive, we're made new, and then we're called to live in that faith. Just as you receive Christ, continue to walk in him. That is the Christian life. It's a life of faith. So we need to be in the presence of one another to know what that journey looks like. And as you said, we can teach it with words, but it really is more caught than it is taught. So if we're around each other, that's why one of the things that I just don't like as far as churches are concerned is how they segregate everybody out by age. So they have the young folks, then they have the little bit older folks, and then they have, you know, the ancient folks. Well, my goodness, those folks are the wisest people in the church. Their wisdom needs to be spread out among the young. They've been through everything every person in that church has been through. they know just about everything. They know what it's like to have a tough marriage. They know what it's like to have a rebellious kid. They know what it's like to have financial reversals, and they've drawn on the wisdom of God. And so we need to rub shoulders with people like that, so this faith can be transferred, so to speak, or we can see what it is just up close and personal. And I think you guys are doing good stuff. I love this next step. I think you have a booklet, something that you've written for your class that's really built on the foundation of Colossians 2:6. Just as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. So how have you seen that particular book make an impact on the new folks that come to Valley?
Yeah, so I think we would tell people as they come to Valley Creek is, man, all of us have a next step with Jesus, right? So if indeed, behold, God is doing a new thing, do you not see it springing up? I think it's Isaiah 43, that God wants to always do a new thing in our hearts. And so we believe there is a next steps to be had. It's Isaiah 30, whether you turn to the right or the left, your ears will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk in it. Following Jesus and the next step that he has in our spiritual journey is a big part of what we want to encourage everybody towards. So that journey, that step may be, I'm a young Christian and I need to be mentored by an older family that can just encourage and speak into my life. Maybe I'm going to open the Bible for the first time, and it's going to be amazing to even try to figure out what to read the first time I do. Maybe I'm going to follow Jesus into the waters of baptism and truly take my next step in following the way that he set forth what it is to declare my faith to a lost and dying world in him and be baptized. Maybe my next step is just to go home and be kind to my family. Just try to maybe turn down my angst in my heart, my anger in my heart, and just speak kind words to my family. And that's my next step. So it's so much better and it's so much more freedom for us as a church when we tell each individual, your next step matters. Whatever that is important. And Jesus wants to reveal that to you through the Holy Spirit. Tune in your spiritual ears and let's listen together. What is that next step that Jesus has for you?
And I think that's the operative word here or phrase here, is that God is going to reveal that next step. Mm-hmm. I think so many people out there get lost trying to figure out the will of God. You know, what decision should I make?
Yeah.
And there's this underlying fear that I don't want to fail. I don't want to make the wrong choice. I don't want to miss the will of God.
So therefore, I won't make any
decisions. Right. Yeah. So we get paralyzed and do nothing. But God and the idea of grace, the person of Jesus Christ, he meets us at our point of need right now, but his whole goal is to move us forward. It's an active relationship, and that's exciting. Mm-hmm. Because we're going to be different, and we're going to be different because God has changed us. God has transformed us. So we need, as you said, to open up those spiritual ears. When we come to Christ, now we have ears that will hear, mm-hmm. and he will direct our steps. That's good news, isn't it?
Great.
I don't have to try to figure it out on my own.
That's great.
And if you will open up your ears, you will hear what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
And it's part of this faith maturing and mm-hmm. growing, and Jesus is the source of that as well.
Yes.
So we just have to trust him. And when we do, things tend to work out for us, don't they?
Yeah. Now, one of the things I like about this whole idea of how you disciple people into Valley is that it's not just, you know, well, Jason wrote these four classes, and Jason gets up, and Jason is the star, and, you know, it's all about Jason. How many volunteers are working with you, and how many total people are involved in making presentations that make this possible?
Yeah, so we believe very much in a model of shared leadership, and in that model it means that we all are carriers of the gospel. We are all ministers of the gospel, and so we will raise up next leaders. It'd be the next people to, let's say, take my role or take the role of teaching a class or maybe being the leader of a group. It's important to have a next so that you can do the very thing that Jesus calls us to make a disciple, to literally bring them along. I believe that Jesus's 12 next leaders, his disciples, went on to change the world. I mean, it was amazing. Well, I guess 11 of 12, but they went on to change the world.
Well, there was this guy named Paul.
Because they followed him, and they truly followed what, you know, the next steps they were going to take. And then we believe the same thing. Shared leadership is an important model for us where we are the church. You don't go to church. we are the church together. It's the body of Christ.
Absolutely. So, and that gets back to our definition of the church, what the Bible has to say about the church. It's certainly not a building. Y'all have a pretty big building in Flower Mound. You also have a campus in Denton, Texas, which is just a little bit north. But those buildings aren't church.
That's right.
It's the people that fill those buildings. And to me, that is such a powerful theme throughout the New Testament. We see us being described as the body of Christ. We see the apostles describing us as the temple of God, the house of God. It's us. It's we, the people, so to speak. And it's what God does through us that matters. It's not what happens, you know, in buildings. It's what God does through us. And that's why it's so important to ground people in their faith. And I think one of the things or difficult things within a church is the balance of message and mission. You know, there's a lot of churches that would be very message minded and would forget about, you know, the mission, what God has called us to be involved in advancing his kingdom. And I would think there's a lot of churches, and I would think this is where most churches would fall into this category. They're very missional. They're very mission minded and ignore the message. Do you have that as a tension there at Valley Creek? Is that something that y'all talk about in leadership? How do we make sure that the message is being taught adequately, passionately, clearly,
but fused
into a mission?
Yeah, in our case, man, we would say if you love someone, you talk about them. So if I love my wife, it's amazing how much I want to tell you about my wife. So when you just have the love of Jesus flowing through you and through the people that you've entrusted to leadership and through the majority of your congregation, it's amazing how missional you become, because suddenly you're talking about the people, the person you love. And so in our case, we believe in missional move. It's the idea that we take a next step so that someone else will be able to take theirs. Jesus was the classic example of taking next steps. He literally took a step from heaven to earth, all the way to a next step on the cross, all the way to the grave, all the way to be resurrected, and took a next step back to heaven. And he's going to take more missional moves when he comes back and gets us and brings his church back to himself. So we believe in that. We believe that we are both a church that has a message in our heart and a mission that goes with it, because we love Jesus. We want to talk about him.
Yeah. So you must be the perfect church.
let me tell you what we are not. We're not. We as individuals are the likeness of Jesus. And so, no, there is no perfect church. It still has people in it. But, man, it's the bride of Christ. It's the hope for the world. And so you don't have to be perfect. You just got to rely on the Spirit. And he'll help you limp along. And it's amazing if you just say yes. Like, if you just want to say yes to him and what he wants to do, you really do have a chance to see heaven come to earth. And so, yeah, there is no perfect church. There's no perfect person. There's only a perfect Jesus.
Well, there is the perfect Jesus, and he's the one building the church, and he's doing so by his Spirit through his children. He's doing it individually. He's doing it corporately. And, Jason, we certainly appreciate you coming and being with us today.
Thank you. Bless you guys.
And, you know, God's blessings to you and to all at Valley Creek Church in Flower Mound, Texas. And,
that actually is a town, yeah.
Yes, it is.
It has a mound of flowers.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for being with
us. Thanks, guys.
As we close the program, I want to remind you once again that if you like what you hear each day on Basic Gospel, please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and click the subscribe link to join our email list. Sign up today and receive links to the daily radio broadcast, the blog post by Bob Christopher, and other ministry updates. That's subscribe at basicgospel.net. As we enter the home stretch of this year, Basic Gospel still needs your help as we attempt to dig out of the financial shortfall that we've been facing for many months now. And from the response that we've received, this is a ministry that is indeed making a difference in people's lives, and many of you have experienced that very thing. That, of course, is why we are here every day. And if you've found answers to your questions, if you've heard truth that has set you on a new and spiritually guided path, if you've found this broadcast as a kind of a safety valve for the frustrations of life, well, those are all the reasons we ask you to support this ministry and keep the good news coming. Please help today with your most generous gift, if you can, to Basic Gospel. You'll find the support link in the header at basicgospel.net. Again, that's basicgospel.net, or you can speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Primarily during Central Time office hours. Again, that's 1-800-727-2828. We hope to hear from you today. Well, thanks for joining us, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, our special guest, Jason Hilliard, and the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.